First day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread is a moment in time that commemorates that critical moment in the history of the nation of Israel when they came out of Egypt. That story of Moses leading the nation of Israel out of bondage, of slavery in Egypt, is among the most fascinating examples in the Bible of God's will conquering man. After the nation of Israel lived in Egypt for precisely 430 years, God decided that it was time for them to go. Following that final plague of the death of all the firstborn around the land, for those who were not observing the Passover, you could imagine the terror that was in the land. And the Israelites, in that environment of terror, fled in a great hurry on very short notice. There were 600,000 men, as the Bible recounts, and we can assume that there were just as many women, and that doesn't even begin to count all the children. So there were clearly over 1 million people that were fleeing this nation of Egypt on a single day. And as the people around them in their environment were horrified to discover death throughout the land of all their firstborn, the nation of Israel had to pick up and leave. They had to, if you could imagine, pick up all their stuff from their homes and leave in a single day. It was a time of great uncertainty, as you could imagine. Some of you may relate to the time of uncertainty, as many say that we are living in right now. It is absolutely nothing in comparison to what happened at that point in time in the history of Israel. If we think that our own circumstances are dire now in the face of the coronavirus spreading throughout the world, keeping us all at home, it is nothing compared to what the nation of Israel had faced at that point in time. At least you and I have homes to go to, places where we can seek refuge and safety. Israel had to pick up and leave everything behind. And they had to do it now. They had to go. And the only destination that they knew that they were going to was a place called the wilderness. What would you think if you were in that position? Try and get yourself into that frame of mind for a moment. What was it like? How would you have responded if your community that you lived in had to pick up and go at a moment's notice, leave everything behind to a place where you weren't sure where you were going to sleep that night? Would you be excited and ready to go? Would you think to yourself, finally, I get to leave this bondage of slavery? Or would you be frightened with your life? I'm guessing that most of us would have a mixture of feelings. Certainly, fear of having to voyage into the unknown, just as the Israelites were, would be ever present. Even though these Israelites were informed of the reason for their departure, that God would let them depart from slavery and lead them into a promised land, they did not really understand the full plan. And they were absolutely afraid. Let's open up and begin in Exodus 14, and I'd like to read beginning in verse 10. Here we are picking it up after the nation of Israel was on their way out of the land. This is the morning after the Passover, or the day after the Passover, when they were fleeing. Picking it up in verse 10 of chapter 14 of Exodus. Pharaoh and the Egyptians are chasing after them. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word which we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." I'm sure we're all familiar with how the rest of that story follows. Moses did exactly what God instructed. The Red Sea parted miraculously, and they were able to cross. Moses had complete trust in God in this example. He knew that this massive group of people, over a million of them, would be saved from danger that they imminently faced. You could imagine armies on one side, your backs against the sea on the other. What were the Israelites thinking? How in the world could they be saved? Now, keep in mind that we have no indication that Moses knew exactly how God was going to pull this off, but he knew that it would happen, even though it appeared as though this group of people, over a million strong, were sitting ducks. They had no hope, according to the mind of man. There was no way of escape, according to what man could envision as a possibility. The fear and dread of these people undoubtedly diminished to nothing as the threat of death closed around them. They doubted God. They did not know what was going on. They did not trust that they would be saved, but Moses did. And brethren, do we doubt God when we face circumstances that seem impossible according to our minds? You see, we don't always understand what God is doing in our lives. We all will face difficult circumstances that don't make sense, that might bring us to a breaking point where we believe we cannot take any more. We'll face circumstances that take us down a path of fear and pain, inescapable. We may ask, why me? Even if we don't understand what God is doing, we cannot stop believing that God has a purpose and that he will work it out. Let's go over to Numbers 11 and read verses beginning in verse 21. Numbers 11, beginning in verse 21. And Moses said, "The people whom I am among are 600,000 men on foot. You have said, I will give them meat that they may eat for a whole month." This is Moses after leading the nation of Israel through the wilderness. They are complaining that they need food. And Moses here is asking God, "How are you going to pull this off, God? Shall flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to provide enough for them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to provide enough for them?" And the Lord said to Moses, "Has the Lord's arm been shortened? Now you shall see whether what I say will happen to you or not." So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tabernacle. Now, even Moses had these moments where he didn't understand exactly how God was going to fulfill his promise. But still, he ultimately trusted God. He shared his message. He told the people, this is what will happen. This is what God says. You can trust it. God reminds Moses at this point that his arm is not short and that he can do anything he pleases. And it is for our sake that these words are written down. This should offer us hope that when we face dire circumstances, when we don't know what's going on, that we should be reminded that God is working it out. Turn with me to Romans 8, and I'll begin in verse 39, or 31 rather, and read through verse 39. Romans 8 and verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We have this assurance that God, in his strength, will perform his will, and that his will involves a plan for you and I, individually and collectively. All of the obstacles that we encounter, even the ones that seem impossible to overcome, are not enough to separate us from God and his plan. As long as we never lose trust in him, we will win in the end. We all face circumstances in our life that don't make sense. We may reason within our own minds where we are convinced that God has good things in store for us, that the trials that we endure might make our lives worse instead of better. Is that happening? We may ask ourselves how in the world God will turn things around for us. It might not seem possible, but we have to remember that God has a vast array of things that he can do that don't even enter into our imaginations. When we feel that state of mind of hopelessness and confusion and take place, we need to remember the words of Moses. Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today.